Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the launching of my very first show, Enlightening Your Way. I am your host, Nancy Lombardo. We are airing live on blogtalkradio.com/LilydaleRadio, and of course here on Facebook, the Lilydale Assembly official Facebook page. This evening, we won't be taking any calls on the radio just because I'm trying to get used to all this. So maybe when I get more comfortable with it, I'll start taking some calls. But if you do have any questions throughout the evening, please feel free to put it in the chat or comments, and we will definitely address them after the show. So for those of you who may not know me, I'd like to introduce myself a little bit. I am a full-time resident here in Lilydale. I am a spiritualist and interfaith minister and a healer. I am the president of the Church of Living Spirit, which is an independent spiritualist church here in Lilydale. I served in the United States Army and continued my career as a law enforcement officer in Oklahoma and retired as a detective after a combined 32 years in law enforcement. I'm also a group fitness and yoga instructor, and wellness is my passion. My show will be a combination of many life experiences that will feature various topics and guests to help enrich one's mind, body, and soul on your pathway to healthy living. The show will also air on my Facebook page, Wellness with Nancy Lombardo, where my motto is protecting and serving your well-being. So I told you we're going to be having special guests, and I'm so excited to introduce my special guest this evening, Janine Kamara. Janine's professional career for over 30 years has been in the field of speech therapy. For almost 15 years, Janine has studied and practiced sound vibration and healing and is now a sound therapy practitioner. Janine is also a health rhythms drumming facilitator, singer-songwriter, and plays a variety of musical instruments. Janine now lives in Western New York. The story I like to tell about Janine is that Janine and I were born on the same day, in the same hospital, in the same town. We went to high school together. We graduated together. We left here together. We were gone for a long period of time together, like 35 years. We came back to Western New York within a year of each other, and we have remained lifetime friends, which is a rarity, in all honesty. I like to say that Janine and I left here as seekers. We were always seeking answers to life's questions, and we both returned as quite spiritually enriched individuals who, of course, are still learning, still seeking, and what a better place to be doing that than here in Lilydale. So I'm so excited to introduce Janine. Janine, hi. Nice to see you. Thank you for being here tonight.
It's really amazing when you think about it.
Isn't it, though? The full circle. I would have never guessed it. But, and I'm so excited to talk about sound healing tonight. And the first thing I would like to know, because you were a speech therapist, what got you into this realm?
Well, you know, in hindsight, everything that I'm doing now actually really all connect. Because, you know, we're talking about speech and language and sound. I was very, very drawn to the audiology part of my programs in college. It almost actually went down that road in audiology because it dealt with sound and sound waves and frequencies and things like that. But anyway, I had a strange attraction. I call it a strange attraction because it wasn't like me. Physics class in high school. Of all the things, And I'll tell you, the funniest story, I remember the teacher at the Jamestown High School, and the day that, physics teacher, the day that he brought in the piano into the classroom, and I went, this is my teacher, right? Because I've been playing piano and whatnot. And then when he uttered these words that music is math, like, I just wanted to walk out. But no, I don't understand.
I've never heard that.
And it's just like, you know, you're not getting this. So anyway, and it's so funny to, after all these years, to really finally come around to understanding what that high school teacher was talking about.
Music is math.
But music is math. Sound vibration is math. So, and just even as a kid, I just was always never really talked about it. You know how there's things when you're a kid that you just think it's just normal. You think everybody thinks this way and that, but I was always very attracted to the way things.
Well, we loved music as kids, for sure. We loved singing. We loved our a cappella. And we sang together, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Sounded pretty good. And it always brought special feelings, for sure.
Yeah. There was a magic about it.
There was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when I moved out from here to Florida for a really long time, I grew as a musician, and I like to tell people that, you know, my friend Nancy got me started because I remember watching you and your friends playing music, and I was not a guitar player at that point, and I thought, I want to do that. So we were very inspirational in sending me down that path as the guitar, you know. But so in my field of speech and language pathology, you know, working in the school system, getting closer to the retirement age so between that and my love of music, I kept thinking there's got to be a merger here. There's got to be a way to bring these things together bring my passion for music and my passion for helping people. That was probably my most favorite thing to do is to use music to help people shift the space that they were in and to help them get more into a heart space.
Did you ever use the word healing when you were thinking about that? Did you ever use heal?
I never really did. You know, I mean, you use music in meditation and services that I used to play for, you know. And then it began, you know, until people started saying, you know, that's really healing, that's really healing. Well, how can we use healing? How can we use music for healing? And I stumbled upon this music for healing transitioning program where it's for therapeutic music at the bedside.
Was that like in college level courses?
No, I was probably had about 20 some years into my career.
Wow.
It's a different program outside of that, and one of my coworkers was in it. And so it was a process of, you know, going from one coach to Florida to the other to take modules. And one of the modules addressed this thing about sound healing, which I had never heard of.
And how many years ago was that?
Probably about 15. And the same weekend, somebody was doing a sound journey in Sarasota, where I was, and I thought, I'm going to go do this, but I don't know what it is. I have no idea. I didn't bring anything. I didn't know. I just walked in the door. And I'm laying on this mat that somebody gave me, and it like it, and everything, and the sound instruments were being played, and I was so blown away. All I kept thinking about was how excited I was because I want to do this. Like, I really wanted to. So that was, you know, so between, yeah, so all of that together. And once I decided that I wanted to do that, you know how when you make a choice, then the universe starts delivering the things to support that.
That manifestation.
Yes.
Of course.
And so there were all these things that happened that just made me not be able to say no to any of it. So the very first thing was, well, how do I get, I saw these crystal bowls that she had, and how do I get this? Because they were very expensive.
Yeah, they are.
And back then, they were more expensive than they are now. And I thought, well, okay, maybe I can just buy one, and I'll start there. And maybe I can buy two. So I had two bowls, and then within a week, at the mailbox, there was a check for some refund, something I didn't even know I had coming, and it was almost to the penny the amount that it was going on there.
Can't make that up. That's great. I love that. You know, we were talking before about how, I mean, you're talking 15 years ago, right? And in my opinion, since the pandemic, all of a sudden you're hearing so much about this. You know, it's so out there, but it didn't, in my opinion, didn't used to be that much out there as popular as it is now. And don't you agree with that?
Yeah,
that's the exact word I used when I was writing out. It feels like the pandemic somehow has made this come to an explosion because people seem to need it, and they came out of it wanting it. And I remember I didn't even know what it was either. When I got here, I'd never heard of this. And then you offered it. You were the actual first one I went to, and I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know, you know, you're like, bring a pillow, bring a blanket. Okay. I didn't know. I didn't even know if I would be able to lay there for, you know, 45 minutes or 50 minutes, if I'd be able to be still enough to even appreciate what it would do. I went in with expectations of just really no expectations, because I didn't know what to expect, and I didn't know what I was going to feel. That's a lot of people now, you know, that's like, well, what is this going to do for me, and why do I need to do this, or why would it be good for me? So what's some of your answers to those questions?
Just talk about the sound journey.
Let's
talk about the sound journey. Before I do that, do you recall how you felt at the beginning of the sound journey and then at the end of it?
I do remember that, actually, because I think I was a little anxious because of, you know, just not knowing. And then I was able to calm myself down. And, you know, I love music. I love music. I love sound. And I was able to close my eyes and I was able to relax. And just the array of different sounds you started bringing in, I was trying to feel how they made me feel, because different senses seemed to come into play, and I would get like goosebumps in different areas of my body. And so it felt different ways in different parts of my body. And I must have fallen asleep, or I feel like I might have fallen asleep for a second or went into a deep meditation. Sometimes it's the same thing. And I remember waking up and I felt stirred. You know, I felt stirred. I felt maybe a little dizzy getting up, but I also felt very refreshed. Very refreshed, like I'd just taken this wonderful cold shower.
Now, wait a minute, because I don't equate cold showers.
Well, that's because cold, like invigorated. How's that?
Invigorated. Okay, there we go. Oh, yeah. Well, everybody has a different experience. I think that's one of the reasons why I like to call it a sound journey. And I actually borrowed that term from the person whose sound experience I first went to. Her name is Rosie Warburton, and she kind of coined that term way long ago, the sound journey, as opposed to sound bath that people, and it really doesn't matter. I just like to think of it as a journey, because I feel like, kind of like what you were describing, that each instrument played just kind of takes you into a different space. So for people who don't know what a sound journey is, you do come to a place where people are gathered and they're laying on mats. Some people will sit in a chair, and that's okay too. And you just get very comfortable, and I go through playing a variety of instruments, some of which you can see if you're on Facebook, you're able to see some of those in the picture. I'll just name a few for people that are on the radio. I do play Native American flute. That's part of the things that I use. I have a reverie harp with strings on it, lots of different chimes, and crystal bowls, the Himalayan sound bowls, singing bowls, drums sometimes, and a variety of other things that make very interesting sounds.
I remember going into your house, and it was like a toy land. You had so much. Can I touch this? Can I touch this? You had so much stuff everywhere, and you said you just couldn't help yourself. You just kept building and building and building and building. And now you're like, I need to kind of get rid of some stuff. I might have too much stuff going on.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know. You can never have too much. It's hard when you go into the dollar store, and you get the little garden section where they have chimes. And you stand there for like 30 minutes playing with the different sounds. Yeah. So anyway, it just is. It's a thing. Whatever makes the sound, you know, can I use this? This is kind of cool. So, you know, different people have different experiences with different tools. Like there are some people that will hear the crystal ball. And let me just play what that sounds like for people that maybe haven't heard that.
What key is that one?
The tone that this particular one is that I'm playing, I believe, is an F, which tends to correspond in general. This is very general statement with the heart chakra.
Oh.
It'll go a very long time.
That bowl loves you. It didn't take nothing to get that singing.
Oh, yeah. Oof.
Beautiful.
I didn't even have to.
Yeah. She didn't go all the way around. It was humming. Beautiful.
Yeah. So that's the crystal bowl, and then there's, shall I go ahead and just kind of?
Yeah. I'd love to hear them. Yeah.
Okay.
And make sure and say what it is for the people that are listening.
Oh, that's right. On radio. Okay. So this that I'm lifting up now is called a Koshi chime. They're little chimes that are like encased in a bamboo cylinder. They're made in France, I believe. The base of the pyramids is where the original is, I guess. Isn't that sweet?
That is lovely. That's I love that. It is. Is it like several bells inside?
Yes, there's like little metal rods in there, mm-hmm. and a string hanging in the middle with a stone, and it just points on.
Very cool.
Yeah. So they come in a set of four, and they all have like they're tuned differently. This is probably something that a lot of people are familiar with, the Himalayan singing bowls, and let me strike one of these for you.
Yes.
And so these are really unique in that there are so many overtones, and the overtones are part of, I think, what enhances our healing because our good experience. There's a fundamental tone, the main tone in that bowl when you strike it. And then there's like an undertone, there's a lower sound, and then there's harmonics that are tones that are over it. And they are musically, if for anybody that knows the music terms, a fifth apart. So that means there's just a certain interval in this tone for this tone. Those tones are very balancing for the nervous system.
And it's a very rich sound.
It is.
Very rich, and when you said that, it almost feels really calming and balancing. Just hearing that sound, I can get that for sure.
So sometimes, you know, you can pick one of those up and hit it, and it's kind of hard sometimes to zero in on, well, what is the fundamental sound of this thing, you know?
I'm
hearing all kinds of sounds, you know? And there's another cool way of not in the sound, I don't use this in the sound journey, I would use it more in a private session, but tuning forks another way to create that balance that has the same interval, the same distance in the note, between the notes, is two forks that, for those who have a musical background, like a C and a G, they're just five notes apart. If you put them, if you strike them and put one on each side of your ear, on each ear, the brain will create a tone that it hears that's between there. That's the bottom line of binaural beats, if anybody's heard of binaural beats. If you have two tones on each ear, and then the difference is what your brain is hearing.
I've seen them use those before, put them actually over the body to see any kind of disruptions. I've seen them do that during a sound healing one time.
Did they talk about it?
A guy that had actually done a workshop here that I was coordinating, I watched him do that process. He didn't really talk a lot while he was doing it, but he had the person down, and he brought the tuning forks over, and like you said, he was looking for disruptions as he put in the body.
Yes, so we have an energy field that's outside our physical boundaries, and when you strike the tuning fork and you go along the person's body, I need to stop talking to my hands, don't I? This is radio. when you kind of scan across the person's body, sometimes if there's an issue, if there's a depressed place or a scrambled or some place that's just out of balance for some reason, the tuning fork will it'll make an adjustment in the vibration, it'll change. And those who have worked with them a lot are able to detect that slight change in that, oh, here's the spot that...
Yeah, now that you're explaining it like that, that's exactly how what he was saying too. Oh, here's a little spot right here, and tweaking it. So yeah, you're exactly right.
That's quite fascinating to me. I find that very fascinating.
Well, I like when, I remember when I used to, before you had moved back here and you were doing your stuff in Florida and your waves and the sound of the waves. And I mean, you did all that work too with sound, so to say, which in my opinion was so moving because it's so powerful.
Are you talking about at the beach?
Yes.
That kind of wave?
Yes.
You want me to say something about that?
Yeah, I love that.
I believe it was 2012 when that big BP oil spill happened. And I was living close to the beach at that point, and I had already started doing some sound healing things, and I just felt so frustrated and so helpless. And I thought, okay, well, if I really believe that sound can have an impact on any, and especially on water, you know, maybe, and it felt so weird to think that this huge, vast ocean, and then there's this me, there's a little spot on the beach, and I'm going to play my crystal ball. And so, you know, what I had to do, though, was I had to do something that would change how I felt. And that's really what the power was in that. And so I put it out to, after a drumming circle, you know, anybody want to join me? Somehow it caught fire, and that first day, 50 people showed up. I thought just a couple of my friends would, but and we were all sitting on the beach with these kinds of tools, these flutes and tones and didgeridoos and drums and everything you can imagine. And I thought, okay, now I don't know what to do because there's that many people that came. But what we ended up doing is just listening to each other and playing. We just played probably a good half hour, and we had water that was in the middle of where we were in a circle on the beach. We had containers of water that were receiving that vibration, and then as a group we picked that water up that was changed. And then we offered that to the ocean, and it just was such a powerful thing for all of us that we continued doing it. Now, of course, 50 people do show up every week, but for about 2 years, once a week, same place, same spot. And dolphins would come. I mean, it would attract the animals.
I loved that. Loved that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I really believe, and then somebody contacted me from the, International Sound Therapy Association. I don't know how they thought, maybe from Facebook, wanted to know if I was keeping data.
No.
That doesn't have my name on it. but people were doing that. So I do believe that it made a difference, and especially, I don't know, have you heard of Dr. Emoto?
Yes. From you. You've told me about Dr. Emoto.
Okay. Yeah. You know, he did so much research on the power of human consciousness on water. And which human consciousness has a vibration, everything does. And then if you think about the fact that our bodies are made of mostly water, like what does that do with thoughts that we think?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And all the evidence that he has that shows, you know, just dark thoughts and not so great in what that good water molecules look not so nice, and then changing it by changing the thoughts that are given to that water. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Really
cool. We're going back to how we used to talk in high school. People think, yeah, we always are
sitting by the creek, right?
Yeah, totally. So I told you my experience with your sound healing. Do you have some other experiences that people have personally shared with you of what they have gotten out of going to the sound journeys or sound baths?
Most of the time when one of the sound journeys is done and I open it up the floor for people to share if they want to ask questions. See, I think people are just so in la la land that it takes a while to come through. But a few people end up sharing. And I've had some people that said, my wrist was really hurting. And when you played the crystal ball, it really hurt more. But when you played the other laying ball, you know, it just all that pain went away or something like that. So they have different experiences with pain. There was a lady, and I think it was the sound journey that you came to. And she had come up the stairs and everything. She was an older woman, and she had, her heart rate was kind of through the roof that night. And I was a little concerned when I went ahead to do the sound journey. I was very concerned about her. And in about 15 minutes, I could tell by watching her breathing, she just, everything came down.
That's incredible. And
she went home in a much more relaxed state. Her breathing was slower, her heart rate was slower. And that just, you know, helps with the healing process with her.
That's very cool.
One of the most fascinating things, though, was a friend of mine's husband, he made this, and for those of you who can see this little,
I was like, that's not little.
It's
for those that are listening, that's not little.
Right.
Love that sound.
I like to hang my chimes on and give you those heavy, heavy chimes. And he had never been to anything like this or wasn't, you know, anyway. I said, you know, you should come. He said, no. I said, no, come as my guest. You know, you made this for me. I really appreciate it. Come. So he came, and he parked himself right up front, which I thought was kind of funny. Afterwards, he shared that when the crystal bowls were being played, he felt like his body came 2 feet off the floor. This is a person who's never had any experience at all like that. He came 2 feet off the floor, and then he felt like his whole body shattered into tons of pieces.
Wow.
And then a little bit of time went by, and when I went around with a green stick, which I can't reach from where I am, but scanning over people's bodies with a rain stick, he said it seemed like all those pieces came back, but now they found it, but then they found the right place, like they came back into a better place.
That's very cool.
What a cool way to express, you know, healing moments for himself.
I know you've walked around Lilydale a lot, and you'll find, I'm seeing more and more for sure walking up and down the streets, but people are putting those very, very large chimes outside, and they're just lovely. You know, we have our quiet time in Lilydale, especially during season. But when you're walking, there's just that hint of breeze in the air, and it's just lovely to hear those deep chimes. And they seem to echo, you know, they just echo, and they really set a tone and a mood, like for your walking meditation when you're out there just walking around. It's really mm-hmm. quite beautiful. Mm-hmm. So I love mm-hmm. those for sure. You remember I told you, I'm sorry, about...
There are a couple of chimes in the tree up at Chautauqua Institution where the labyrinth is.
Oh, yep. That's a nice, good place to put it too. Perfect place. Remember I told you I did that sound bath about a month ago where it was online and the gentleman, it was like all computerized, so to say. He had computerized sounds. And the interesting thing he had said during the beginning of that was he was going to play sounds that might not sound good to you. You know, they might affect you. They might not be a pleasant sound, but to not take that negatively, that even unpleasant sounds could have positive results. What do you say about that?
Well, I've heard some people say that an unpleasant sound might be that it might be unpleasant to you because there's something in your body that is breaking apart or stirring up. So an unpleasant sound might just stir something up for you. I'm not one that would sit and listen very long to something that was really unpleasant, but what I would try to do to kind of get through that would be, and this would be healing in itself, this would be growth in itself, is I would imagine myself as a, like having a screen around me and letting the vibration, the sound kind of blow through me instead of resisting it and going, oh, I can't stand that because there's so much resistance and pushing against with that. So to not do the pushing against thing and let the waves just kind of blow through, like they come through a stream through your body and out the other side. And maybe like a dream catcher or something that you grab through the body. I don't know.
I like that. It's not like he played it for long periods of time. You know, it's like what you do is changing sounds very often. So I think you're right. I like the way you described that maybe it was just something inside yourself that needed to break loose or cause that disruption to be able to let it go. So mm-hmm. yeah, I like that. And you're right. Every sound sounds different to different people. What is beautiful mm-hmm. to me might not be beautiful to somebody else. So mm-hmm. yeah, you're right about that.
And that's the beauty of the sound journey is that, you know, usually I'll tell people, you know, if there's something that you don't really care for, you know, just breathe and know it's not going to be forever. And sometimes those sounds, like I've had people say, oh, when you did that thunder drum, which is a, it sounds like thunder, just two with a spring on it. It can be a scary sound. It may be a trigger for some people, I don't know. But and then they had a memory of something or, so the different, I think it's really good to pay attention to how each of the things affect you.
Right. So what would you say to people who have never tried this to consider trying this as a way of healing or as a modality of healing?
Attend the sound journey.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Just say yes.
You know, you can... There's so much on the internet too. If you feel like you want to be curious about, well, what exactly I just want to see something, you could probably go on YouTube and see different people doing different things. But it's not the same as actually bringing yourself to the experience and trying it out. And then a curiosity and an interest in using sound in your own life purposefully. Music, we all have our music that we like to listen to, and I would say that we're in a time when it's really important to be discerning about our choices of what we're listening to, you know, what kinds of music are we listening to, what kinds of sounds are we exposing ourselves to, is it supportive, is it draining?
Remember we were talking about that just earlier today about being at home or using your own individual sound? You were talking about just your voice.
Oh, your voice. Yes. Yes. So if somebody is wondering, well, I'd like to use some sound healing for myself at home, what can I do? And I have an unlimited budget. No, actually, your voice. You have your voice. And the voice is much more powerful, I think, than many of us realize. Can you give you a little science on that one?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so there's the longest nerve that we have in our body. It's called the vagus nerve. And it goes from the base of the brain and it innervates most of the major organs in our body. Goes all the way down to the abdomen. It's a wandering thing. And stress affects that nerve, you know, just our general stress that we experience. And we have a response that triggers, you know, faster heart rate, blood moves away from the digestive system when that happens. And so your digestion is compromised, trouble sleeping maybe, irritability, just not feel good, kind of the thing. And if we use our voice, then we stimulate that nerve. And that's a healing thing, because then that nerve, it goes through and it is innervating with all these organs in your body. And so it can begin to shift your response and put you into the relaxation response.
Yeah, total sense.
Yeah, it's just a cool thing. So singing to yourself, humming, you know, just humming is helpful.
Heck, we were talking about that we could almost have a whole show just talking about the science behind all of this, because there's so much of it, for sure. Right. So I think you said before we get running out of time that you might maybe want to take about 5 minutes and go through some sounds for everybody.
Yeah, for about 5 minutes, I'll just kind of do a sampling of a few things. And if you want to just close your eyes and listen, that would be great. You know, there is this really important thing that I like to remember to tell people in the sound journey we're even meditating. Is Brooke Medicine Eagle said, when you're truly listening, even if you're not in sound journey and you're just doing other things, when you truly are listening to a sound, you cannot have a thought.
Ah.
So ponder that one, because it's true.
You cannot have a thought. That's deep. I like that.
Yeah. And the minute you realize that, oh, it's true. Well, you've already had the thought and you're not listening anymore. You know? So is it that in itself is a great way to bring yourself back to balance if you know, as people you're breathing, you know, and you just stop and just listen and shift a lot. So, okay, so we'll take about 5 minutes.
I'm gonna let you do your thing. I'm gonna relax and listen.
Okay.
And not have a thought.
Okay. And if you hear a cat, that's kind of plan.
Gino's already up here too.
Okay. Thank you.
Beautiful. I like the way it's like calming yet stirring at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really, really beautiful. I'm hoping that the listeners were able to feel and be able to touch in, and the ones watching, joining us here live on Facebook, got a feel and a sense of what it might be like, because when you normally do these, they last about an hour. And that's a long time to be immersed in such beauty.
It is. And everybody thinks it's about 10 minutes.
Really? Yeah, they lose track of time, I'm sure. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I bet. I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome. I think it's a great alternative to try something different, you know, to try to heal something that might need to be healed inside yourself. Why not? Why not try?
Yeah, I mean, we half the battle is just finding the relaxed place. We're breathing in, not the body, do it staying. And if we're talking about physical things, you know, there's the healing happening from multiple layers.
Yeah, I could believe that. Is there any amount of time? I mean, can you see your effect of one time versus doing it multiple times?
Doing a journey?
Yes.
Oh, you can do it every day if you wanted to. Get access to that if you wanted to. I don't think there's any, there's no prescription on that one.
Right. That's a good way to put it, for sure. That's a good way to put it. Well, is there anything else you'd like to say about your sound journeys or sound baths that you think would be important that we might have missed?
I think that kind of captures the gist of it. And I know situation, people that have come multiple times have had different experiences of time, different instruments, and writing different things, and, you know, the creation. And I think what happens too is because, you know, we all come together in this one space, and everybody brings their consciousness there. So it's really a group experience. It's, you know, you're having an individual journey, but it's the deep energy that really contributes to it as well. And so when you go to any of these, or you use some sound tools for yourself, a really important thing to remember is your intention. That's because your thought and your intention is primary, and then it's almost like that's the thing that the sound wave carries and amplifies.
Oh, you're so true about that, and, you know, bringing your intention. And I always say that to my yoga students too. And, you know, you're right. You can do this stuff online, but there's just something about being in person and that joined energy that really creates something totally different, for sure. And people
it
can.
It has been pretty. It's been pretty powerful. If you have an online experience, it's just different.
Yes, just different. I agree with that. And people can find you on Facebook if they'd like to find you, or if they have any other questions. And you do offer, like you said, different sound journeys and individual journeys also, yes.
Individual sound therapy sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so the way to, you can look me up on Facebook under my name, but I have a page that's for my sound work, and it's called Vibrations for Life.
Of course it is. I love that.
Someone told me when she heard all the different things I did in my life, this is a friend of mine's mother, he said, well, it sounds like your whole life has just been about vibration.
There it is. I love that.
The Vibrations for Life is the Facebook page, and if you want to email me to be on a list that I would only use to inform you of the event, it would be vibrationsforlife@gmail.com.
Awesome. Janine, I can't thank you enough for being my very first guest. I've enjoyed it tremendously, for sure. Feels like we're just having a conversation, and that's perfect. I thank everybody that has joined us on the radio this evening, and everybody that has joined us Facebook Live. I hope you'll join me again in 2 weeks for Enlightening Your Way, where my goal is to help enrich your mind, body, and soul on your pathway to healthy living. Please visit this page often to find out everything about Lilydale. And also, I hope you enjoy some of the photos that I post here to capture the essence of Lilydale and make you all feel that you are part of our home. Please like my page, Wellness with Nancy Lombardo, my website, wellnesswithnancylombardo.com. My name is Nancy Lombardo, and I am here to protect and serve your well-being. In saying that, good evening, everybody, and thank you.